I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Goodness me! What a fantastic goal! What a goal! That is absolutely superb!
Huge cheers go up around Emirates Stadium.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of Monday, the 30th of April 2018. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on this week's show, we'll look ahead to Thursday night's massive Europa League semi-final second leg away to Atletico Madrid. That's at the chalkboard with our very own Adrian Clarke. We'll also preview tonight's FA Youth Cup final second leg here at Emirates Stadium against Chelsea with Max Jones. But first up, we take a look back at events at Old Trafford against Manchester United at the weekend just gone with our Arsenal insider.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, joining us as our insider this week, I'm delighted to say that it's top Irish broadcaster and, of course, big Arsenal fan, Michael McMullen, joining us from across the Irish Sea. Michael, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks, Russ. Good to be here, as always.
Arsenal, with a frustrating weekend against Manchester United to talk about first in a game with a few changes where the Gunners acquitted themselves so well for large chunks, frustratingly.
Yeah, I mean, I was worried. I've got to be honest about it. I was worried when we went one down, particularly with such a young team playing in a blue kit at Old Trafford. I mean, what does that remind you of? But no, I thought, as you say, we acquitted ourselves brilliantly after that. And I was really, really pleased. I was so disappointed at the end, you know, to see that, you know, the winner from Fellaini, because I thought, you know, this is maybe the day we're going to turn around this dreadful away run that we've been on recently. But even with that, you know, you still feel it was all positives. The day obviously started on such a high note before the match had even kicked off. But you look, it was such a changed team. You know, young players coming in, a few of them in the starting lineup, including a couple of you know, relatively unfamiliar names, and did quite well. And a lot of positives to take out of it. But I think, you know, there was such a sense around the match. This is really just, you know, the calm before the storm, and everything was seen in the context of Thursday. And given that in that context, so many changes were made, to be as competitive as we were at Old Trafford and only lose to such a late goal, I think you actually come out of it as one of the more pleasing defeats of recent times.
Just touch on a couple of those positive stories and players given their chance. Ainsley Maitland-Niles and young Konstantinos Mavropanos, two really good showings and players that hopefully will go far in the months and years to come here.
Mavropanos was the story of the day, wasn't he? And I'm going to spend the summer trying to learn to pronounce his name as well as you just did there. You know, we need something freshen up the defence. Yeah, I think that's become pretty evident. We need to cut out the mistakes. And he looked like the sort of player who could potentially, in the long run, do both of those things. So much talk about Wenger's departure recently. He wasn't even born when Wenger arrived at the club, which is just another one of those things that, you know, has been said recently that highlights how long he's been there. But very excited about him. I know there have been one or two suggestions that he might now feature on Thursday night, maybe even in the start lineup. I think there's no chance of that whatsoever. But certainly he's one for, you know, you say the future, but very much the short-term future. And, you know, given that we need to, you know, improve things defensively, you know, he's someone who could really contribute a lot. But he looked so composed. There were no obvious mistakes there. He looked very clever in his reading of the game. And for him, you know, he was definitely the most exciting thing on the day.
And Maitland-Niles, a player that, as we know, Michael, can play in a lot of different positions. He's been employed about four or five different places within the team over the course of this season. Hopefully, again, a guy who's growing in experience, in confidence, and his influence on games will again grow.
Yeah, Wenger loves players like that, you know, midfielders who he can, you know, rotate into different positions and shuffle his pack. It'll be interesting to see now, whoever the new manager turns out to be, will he continue to use Maitland-Niles in that way, or will he try to pin him down to one particular position? But he's made, I think it's eight appearances, seven or eight maybe appearances now in the Premier League this season. So that's fantastic. I mean, you know, you see it so often at top clubs for young players coming through. It's so hard for them to get more than one or two appearances a season. But he's played now, you know, not far short of a quarter of our matches in the current campaign. Again, he looks very composed. Half of the battle, I think, for a player like that is looking like you feel that you do belong at that level, and he certainly does.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Michael, we'll touch obviously on the Europa League in a moment, but another point that you raised before was Arsene Wenger going back to Old Trafford for what certainly will be the final time as Arsenal boss. Will it be the final time ever? We don't know. But Old Trafford, Sir Alex Ferguson, Jose, Alexis Sanchez, a lot of effort made to welcome Wenger and just take note of his career and all the times, of course, that he's brought the Gunners, either with great success or not, to the Theatre of Dreams. Let's hear a bit from the boss.
It's the end of a long, long story, you know, and I think I would like to thank Man United for the gesture they made before the game. And they'll be certainly competing with Arsenal in the future again. And I will follow that with attention. And hopefully Arsenal will come here next year and win.
Was it Alex Ferguson who gave you a gift beforehand, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, tell us about that.
It's the first time I get a trophy before the game.
What was it they gave you?
A cup. I don't know exactly what is written on it because I was focused on the game.
Arsene Wenger speaking there. And Wenger, Michael, I know that a man you are among many immensely impressed with over his time at the club, even if now that time is drawing to a close.
It's an emotional time for all of us, isn't it? You know, those of us who've been, you know, supporting Arsenal for so long throughout Wenger's reign and long before that. And, you know, that emotion, I think, was only heightened by that extraordinary moment at the start of the game. Wenger, Ferguson and Mourinho, the guys who won 19 Premier League titles between them, all standing together like old buddies. You consider the battles they've been through over the years. That is, you know, it's such a cliched word to use now, but that was one of those iconic, you know, Premier League images. And it just added to that sense of an era coming to an end, these three old warriors getting together on the touchline before this game at the end of the season. It was a bit like that, you know, one-off picture of the time the Beatles met Elvis. You know, it was comparable to that in my book. But, it's a farewell tour is the term that I heard used over the weekend, and that's what it feels like at the moment. Nobody wants the tour to end petering out in that game at Huddersfield on the final day of the season. We all wanted to finish in Wenger's home country with him finally landing his first European trophy. But just these weeks at the moment, it's such a strange time. You know, we're used to the final weeks of the season, challenging for titles, battling to get into the top four. It all just feels so different now. Obviously, there's still something very much to play for. But in the Premier League, it does feel like it's all about Wenger and those sort of goodbye moments. And it's just surreal, as I'm sure so many people have said, to imagine August coming and somebody else being on the touchline. But I thought that was just fantastic yesterday. Wenger was right. It was classy of Manchester United to mark his departure in the way they did, and for Alex Ferguson to be so much a part of it. And just one of those moments you get towards the end of every season, really, of just a feeling that one way or another era is passing.
Now, in terms of Thursday, let's just remind ourselves of how the tie stands against Atletico Madrid. It is 1-1. The highlight for the Gunners was this opening strike.
Now it's with Danny Welbeck, left flank once again. Lacazette looks to use his strength against Koke. Plays the ball in field for Granit Xhaka, 35 yards out, central position. Now it's with Mesut Ozil, short for Bayer in, right-hand side. Low ball in, it flicks up and it's away and it'll fall towards Nacho Monreal. Kills it back inside the box, but Gamero is there. Griezmann looks to clear. Wilshere picks it up. Looks for the 1-2 with Ramsey, back towards Wilshere, left-hand side, tries to get the crossing, far post! Oh, it's got in! Like I said, it is! Arsenal have the advantage here, a towering header, a Blackie's beaten, the Gunners get the goal that their players deserve. Atleti's resistance has been broken. It is Arsenal 1, Atletico Madrid 0.
Another goal for the red-hot Alexandre Lacazette, Michael, and it's just a huge, huge game, isn't it, the Wanda Metropolitano?
Yeah, there's been a lot of criticism, you know. I mean, of course it was a frustrating night on Thursday, but, you know, I don't think Arsenal were as wasteful as people have made out. It doesn't help, of course, when your main informed striker has to miss the game because of what looks like a fairly archaic rule, which is actually going to be dropped, ironically, at the end of this season. You have to wonder what difference Aubameyang might have made. Very frustrating, of course, you know, on the balance of play, and particularly having played most of the match against 10 men, you thought, right, this is a chance for us to nail this down. But you know what? Atletico, they have this amazing defensive record. It's not by accident, you know. And watching the game on Thursday night, it wasn't hard to see why they've conceded so few goals. They're even stronger defensively at home. So it's a massive, massive ask now just to go there and score. But what a night it's going to be on Thursday. The odds are definitely against us. But I don't buy into the criticism of last Thursday night. I thought Arsenal did well to create as much as they did, to dominate the way they did. just one of those matches that we seem to have, unfortunately had a few of this season. You think back to the Manchester United game, when, I mean, how we lost that match, you know, it's still something I haven't figured out. But still in with a chance now on Thursday, and, potentially Wenger's sort of last big hurrah moment, if he can manage to just get a result over there. It's not unthinkable at all to think we could get one all, take it to extra time, and then, of course, if we score an extra time, they've got to get two to stay in it. But it's going to be a fantastic evening on Thursday.
I'll finish with the same question that I'll put to Adrian Clarke in a few minutes. Hand on heart, do you think Arsenal will get the job done when, as you rightly have alluded to, they're playing a team, I think, who's conceded once in La Liga since the turn of the year and about three or four times all season at home?
Let me put it like this. Atletico, you cannot look at it in any logical way and not make Atletico the favourites. But I'm going to say it's sort of 60-40, and I think that sums up how I feel about the match. I think with a very good chance, Atletico obviously the favourites. We'll just wait and see, won't we? I mean, these European ties, they're so tight and they're so unpredictable. The away goals rule always makes, you know, such a difference to things. I'm thinking back to 95, the Cup Winners' Cup semi-final, Sampdoria. It looked as though it was all over for us. We just managed to somehow get through that night. I'm hoping it's going to be one of those. And, of course, that was a very different era. That was long before Wenger was at the club. So let's just hope for that. But I'm certainly expecting a lot of tension on Thursday evening all the way through to, hopefully, maybe even through to 11 o'clock and perhaps a penalty shootout. We'll see.
Not sure if anyone's nerves can take that, Michael. Thank you so much.
I don't mind.
Thank you for going back onto the Arsenal Weekly podcast. And we look forward to catching up with you again very soon.
Cheers, Russ. All the best.
Of course, the senior team, not the only focus at the moment. A massive game for the junior Gunners tonight. It's the second leg of the FA Youth Cup final here at Emirates Stadium. Arsenal 3-1 down going into the second leg against Chelsea after events in leg one on Friday night. Delighted to say that Arsenal Media's very own Max Jones joins me. Max, welcome back to the podcast, and a massive, massive night.
Yeah, it is. It really is for them. The thing is that although they started that first leg very well, they've actually given themselves a mountain to climb in this second leg against a very strong Chelsea side. For those people who watched the game, you would have seen how well Arsenal started the game. And Xavi Amici and Emile Smith-Rowe in particular were the standout players in that match. Unfortunately for Arsenal, they just seemed to get a bit outstrength, a bit outpaced towards the end of the game. Maybe fatigue crept in on playing at such a pitch like Stamford Bridge. And Chelsea just kind of capitalised on a few defensive errors, a few fragilities at the back. And I know Arsenal will be kicking themselves, Dec Medley especially, as it was one of his lapses in concentration which kept them in for the third goal. What was quite interesting was that Danny Ballard, the captain, spoke after the game and he said, look, we know that we can get them. If we just play on the counter-attack, if we just play our normal football, as we usually do at Emirates Stadium, then hopefully we can turn the tie around.
Now, we commentated together for Arsenal.com on the second leg of the semi-final where Arsenal destroyed Blackpool and did it in great, great pomp. What's your feeling on that very point then, Max, that at Emirates Stadium, that Arsenal could yet turn it around? What do they need to do tactically, personnel-wise, in your view?
Well, look, they need to raise their game. That's got to be the first thing. They need to come out of the blocks, first 20 minutes, really blitz Chelsea and give them a tough test. They did that in the first leg. Eventually, it paid off with Amici getting that lovely finish. This Arsenal team.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's full of lots of young talent. I mean, you compare it to the Chelsea side who... they've got one of their players has actually won this competition on three separate occasions. So this is a very experienced, strong and physical Chelsea side. So what Arsenal will need to do is play to their own strength. And that's going to be in game management and catching Chelsea, as I said, on the break. They've got players who are absolutely lightning quick. We saw it in that game against Blackpool where two or three of our goals actually came on the counter-attack. So we're looking at the likes of Amici on one wing, Flo Balogun if he returns on the other wing. And then obviously, Reece Nelson is still eligible to play in this competition. So it's going to be quite interesting, given that he played at Old Trafford yesterday, whether or not he comes into the side with them absolutely needing to win. I'm really looking forward to it.
And in terms of changes, you mentioned Nelson. Do we expect any other tweaks, either due to injury or just freshening things up for this second leg, which, of course, we'll learn a little bit later on today before kickoff?
I think from Kwame Ampadu's point of view, he'll want to keep the side as much the same as possible, just because this is a side who have got this far in the competition, and you know, it'd probably be a bit harsh on them now to start ringing the changes. So we're looking at maybe one or two changes, depending on, like I said, the fatigue from the first leg. Because you've got to remember, that's a really quick turnaround. Just 3 days between the two ties. And these are still young guys. So, you know, it's obviously going to take its toll on them. And that defeat will certainly have had a bigger impact on how they're feeling. You know, if you get a good result in the first leg, your confidence is going to be high and you're just going to be looking to get into the next one. Whereas now there's a bit of trepidation about it, a bit of a worry that they may not get the result that they feel they deserve. But all I will say is that Kwame doesn't need to change things too much. This is a really talented group of youngsters, the most talented group of youngsters that we've had in one squad at one time since we won it back in 2009, when you had the likes of Jack Wilshere, Francis Coquelin, Henry Lansbury, all in that side. So I'm expecting to see a similar side. I'm expecting to see Emile Smith-Rowe really take control of this game. Obviously, he only played an hour in the first leg, and I guess a lot of that is due to his injury and that they want to keep him fresh for the return leg at Emirates tonight. So he's hoping that game plan, that strategy has paid off.
So hopefully a big crowd, everyone cordially invited to get down to Emirates Stadium and watch it. And of course, there is live commentary on Arsenal.com with myself and Nick Brumsack this evening. Max, I'll miss you alongside me, but I know you'll be busy tapping away for Arsenal's website as well on the game. So look forward to it, and I'll see you a bit later on, pal.
Yeah, I'll see you later on, Russ. Thank you.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clarke.
Well, joining me at the chalkboard, as ever, is Adrian Clarke. Clarkey, how's it going?
Yeah, very well, thank you. A little bit tired this morning, not going to lie, but we'll get through it.
Hopefully that will affect you in Brain of Arsenal, he says, but we shall see a little bit later on in our chat. Adrian, first of all, the question at the chalkboard, anybody that you saw from the Manchester United game who you think has played their way, forced their way into this critical Atletico Madrid Europa League semi-final second leg on Thursday?
Well, I don't think Arsene Wenger would have expected anybody to have played their way in, because in my view, he would have his team in mind. And that's why we saw eight changes from the game. But the two centre-halves. They were excellent, I thought. Callum Chambers and Dinos Mavropanos, absolutely outstanding. And while I don't expect either of them to start, I think Koscielny and Mustafi will be given another opportunity. It must be tempting to use one or both, because I thought they just didn't put a foot wrong, and they were very calm, handled the occasion well. And it's a big occasion, huge crowd, tough away game, just as tough as potentially as Atletico Madrid. And they handled Lukaku really, really well, and after that, Rashford. So those are the two that immediately spring to mind, as well as A&T Maitland-Niles. Yeah. But hand on heart, I don't think any of them will start, but I would put Maitland-Niles on the bench. And I would certainly have Callum Chambers and maybe Mavropanos involved in the squad as well, because they deserve it.
Yeah, very exciting talent, I have to say, having commentated on him when the Premier League 2 Arsenal hammered Man United a few months ago up at Boreham Wood, and he was brilliant on his debut that night and had a feeling he'd go far. Fingers crossed, Clarkie. So building up to this second leg in Madrid on Thursday, do Arsenal just go for broke in one sense and try and take the handbrake off and try and rip this tie open? Or is it a case of being sensible, playing a waiting game and just trying to take the opportunities when they arise?
It's an interesting dilemma. And it is a dilemma because even though one always is seen as a disastrous result, if Atletico Madrid, if Arsenal do go for it early on and then concede, the game hasn't changed because they needed to score anyway. So in some respects, I do think it's worth being quite expansive. Not expansive at the detriment of defence. You don't want to be giving goals away. But it's in Arsenal's interest for this to be a more open contest. Absolutely no doubt about that. If it's end-to-end, then there's a greater chance they'll score one and two or three goals. Unlikely. It's rare against Atletico Madrid away, but not impossible. So it's a fine balance to be struck, I think, for Arsene Wenger and his side in this one. Atletico, 0-0 will do for them. I don't think that Simeone will send his team out to blitz us. I don't think they will go for broke at all.
It's not really their style almost ever, is it?
It isn't their style ever. And they do have a reputation, actually, and not many people talk about this. In games that matter, the real deciders in cups or leagues, they fluff their lines. They don't always get over the line. So Arsenal have got a chance here. Best way, I think, is to put them under pressure, make them nervous in front of their own supporters. And yeah, I think Milan is the blueprint. A controlled but adventurous performance away from home.
And gut reaction, Clarkie, can and will Arsenal do this?
Look, my heart says, of course we will. My head says it's going to be really, really hard. If we play to our potential and Atletico are no better than they were in that first leg, I think we'll win the game. I believe we're good enough to go to the Wanda Metropolitano and score at least two goals or score one or two goals and win the tie. So I'm confident. It rests, I think, on concentration without the ball. Whoever's in the back four, whoever's in central midfield must be fully focused. If they're not, we will concede, and that puts us up against it.
And Clarkie, it depends on taking chances as well. We saw that in the first leg. Alexandre Lacazette is, what, 7 from 7, isn't he, in all competitions since he returned from injury. Yeah. Players like him, critical when the opportunities emerge that they take them.
Yeah, and he's in form, so that's good. Yeah, he missed a couple of chances, but he's playing well. Lacazette. So that's positive. Yeah, we do need ruthlessness. Welbeck spurned a great opportunity, I think, that first leg. Aaron Ramsey, I thought, was a bit quiet. Slightly disappointed with Aaron, who's been brilliant of late. This could be set up for him. Nice and fresh, comes back into the side. I think we really missed Aaron Ramsey's runs into the box at Old Trafford. Watch him in this game. He will get up there. And I think he'll have a couple of opportunities. It's all about can he dispatch them. Look, yeah, we need every facet to be right. We need to be disciplined. We need to be organised. We need to be fully concentrated. But we also need to be adventurous and then clinical when the chances come away. So it's a lot of things have to come together. But I'm telling you now, even though Arsenal fans were despondent after that first leg result, it's not over. Simeone's not on the touchline either. It's got to be an advantage for us.
Yeah, it's a very, very good point, actually, that we shall wait and see how it bears out when the heat of battle ensues. Adrian, let's just finish, if we can, with a word on Burnley. That's Arsenal's next Premier League game. And it's, of course, the last home game of the season here at Emirates Stadium, isn't it? Against a Burnley team who, on the whole, have done extremely well this season. One place behind Arsenal in the standings. And pretty sure will give them a very tough game.
Well, it'll be a tough game for them and a tough game for us because they're solid, we know that. And, yeah, it's about keeping emotions in check. I do think it will. There'll be an outpouring of love and affection for Arsene Wenger. It will be a special occasion. It's important that the players just focus on the job as well. Hopefully it will inspire them to produce a top performance. Won't be easy against Burnley. Never make it easy. They're not. One thing you know with Burnley, they're not going to gift you chances. So we're going to need to be creative. And of course, a lot will rest on the mood, won't it? If we've come through Atletico and won, everyone's playing for a place in the final. If we lose, everyone's got to pick themselves up and it won't be easy. So be an interesting game. I don't think it'll be a very high-scoring game. I can see it being, just one or two goals being scored, hopefully just by us.
I suppose on the flip side of the mood, the result might then dictate the strength of team slightly as well, because the Europa League final is pretty early this year, isn't it? If Arsenal are in the mix or not, it might actually affect who Arsene Wenger then fields in that sense too.
Yeah, look, if Arsenal go through to the final, you can expect a similar side to what we saw at Old Trafford. No doubt about that. Look, I'm all for that. I want to see more of Mavropanos. I want to see more of his combination with Callum Chambers. Because to me, they had a bit of chemistry going on. Good communication, good attributes. They blended lovely together. I'd be happy to see them play every league game between now and the end of the season, just as a glimpse of the future potentially. So, fingers crossed we are in that position where Arsenal are preparing for a final game of the season in Lyon.
Well, Clarkey, we finished by transporting ourselves back from Emirates Stadium to the gleaming new Wanda Metropolitano, and you're there on the touchline. The players are about to trot out for this massive game. What are your managerial words of wisdom? What's your five-second team?
I would fill my players with belief that they will score goals. And I will tell them that I guarantee them that if they produce their best football, they'll score at least twice, two goals. I'll convince them of it. That they'll run out feeling 12 feet tall, I tell you, Russ.
So, Clarkey predicting goals in the big game on Thursday. Will there be points? Will there be a bumper haul, I wonder, in this?
Reign of Arsenal.
Well, the Arsenal Weekly podcast editor, Liam Roberts, joins us on the phone again, I'm afraid, Adrian. Liam, as we discussed last week, you are not a well man and things not massively improving, we hear.
Slightly better. I've got to say I'm in a better state than I was last week. I think when I spoke to you, I don't remember much of that conversation anymore. I was pretty whacked up on gas and air, so it was... I don't even remember who won, to be honest. So
I did.
I wish I'd been high on gas on air last week.
I've got to say, Liam, credit to you. I would have thought you'd have given the podcast the elbow this week.
Oh, lovely stuff. I can see the funny side of that now. Yeah.
Brutal. I'd dock him some points for that if I were you, Liam. Give me a chance in the running.
Yeah, no, he's only had a good move. He's about to beat me in the playoffs in fantasy football as well. So,
yeah, didn't want to mention it, but yeah, happy with that, Liam.
I'm going to prepare the cold shoulder for his next injury. Oh. That's my next plan.
right
moving on. Okay, yeah, so we're back in a week one situation after last week. Russ, I believe it's you to go first this week. Back on your flat track bullion.
Indeed. And having fallen quite badly at the second hurdle last week on Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, we're going to move on to hopefully a star of Thursday night, Alexandre Lacazette, the times and life thereof so far.
Yeah, I'm glad actually. I had to go back and re-listen to that just to remember who you chose when I was doing the questions. So, I'm glad I got that right. So your four questions on Alex Lacazette starting now. Question one, how many goals has he scored this season for us?
In all competitions, 16.
Correct. Question two. Who did he replace for his first France appearance from the bench? So he came on for someone.
He did. Ironically, it was Olivier Giroud.
Correct. Question three. How many league goals did he score in total for Lyon?
Oh, league goals.
League goals.
I think he finished league-wise on exactly 100.
Correct.
Oh, on fire.
And question four. He's living up to the reputation, I like it. Question four. Alex scored the winner in the 2010 European Under-19 Championships final. Who were France's opponents?
Oh, no. I've got my list of honours memorised, of which that was on it. Who they played in the final of that tournament, I honestly don't know. So it was Euros. So I'm going to have a random pop. I am going to say Spain.
Correct.
Oh, great that guess. Was a total guess. Total guess.
Yeah, four out of four. For you. You found it, yeah. I am very pleased as well because Adrian, Vic Akers, I'm running out of questions. I've had to go deep on this.
Oh, goodness, that doesn't sound good. Right, let's...
There's not much on Wikipedia about Vic that I didn't ask last week. So, week two questions for you. Starting now. Question one, which three teams did Vic actually make first-team appearances for? He played for six teams, but only made appearances for three.
He only made appearances for three? Did he really? I'm not sure. Not sure about that. But in the Football League or non-league?
Just all in his professional career.
Well, he played for Cambridge United. He played for Watford.
Correct.
And he played for a number of non-league teams. He would have played for all of them. I don't know what he would say on Wikipedia. It's either Dartford or Slough. I would probably have Slough down. I know that he won silverware with Slough, but I know that he played for Dartford as well. So you can't make me wrong.
Can't make you wrong, therefore. You're right. I love that. You can't make me wrong. That's because you're right.
That's the most threatening answer I've ever heard in Brain of Arsenal.
It was very passive aggressive, wasn't it?
I didn't mean to be. I'm sorry.
Should have seen the look on his face in the studio as well. It was even tougher than his 5 second team talks.
Liam, I didn't mean to be aggressive. Come on, let's move on.
Question two. I had to go deep on this one, but obviously we all know that Vic wears shorts all the time. There is one recorded answer for why he does this. Like, there's a rumour out there that someone has either started or given an answer for it. There's only one of these answers I could find on the internet.
Okay.
Why does he wear shorts?
Okay. Is it multiple choice?
No. I could try and think of some.
So the only way I could possibly know this is if I'd Googled the exact same thing as you.
I think it's a fair Google question. Why does Vic wear shorts?
Why does Vic wear shorts?
Yeah, could have asked him.
I will say that he... I don't know. That he is superstitious. And that he thinks it's bad luck if he wore tracky bottoms.
That would have been a good multiple choice, one of the options to give you. No, it's actually, he made a bet with a member of the Arsenal women's team. And they said, we bet you can't just always wear shorts whenever you're in the public eye. And he did.
Wow. Wow.
Again.
Fair play. Maybe
not. Question three, deep dive here, mate. When Vic received his OBE in 2010, can you name another person who received it for sports?
That's ridiculous.
No.
I mean, it's not about Vic Akers. It's not actually about Vic Akers, is it?
I'll give you a clue. I'll give you a clue. It's someone to do with Formula One.
OBE, Formula One, 2010. Well, I'm going to go with either Button or Hamilton. I'll go for Lewis. Let's go for Lewis Hamilton.
No, it was Ross Brawn.
Oh, I should have got that. That was very, very linked in with Vic Akers, that. Cheers.
Yeah, I thought so. Getting my revenge on everything that's been said while beating me fancy football. And final question, how many League and Cup doubles did Arsenal women's win under Vic?
League and Cup doubles, five.
So that's FA Cup and Premier League.
Five.
Seven. Sorry, mate.
Tough. I read it. It was five. Okay. It doesn't really matter.
I added up this morning at seven.
New topic.
Did we not finish the season yet?
No, it's still 2 more weeks to go.
Oh, goodness me. I had given it a thought because I knew Russ would win today. So I'm going to go with, hopefully it's good luck for us, our Cup Winners' Cup final. 1994, I believe it was, against Parma in Copenhagen. Just the final.
Cool. I will enjoy doing some research about that.
Get well soon, my friend. That is Liam Roberts, the Arsenal Weekly Podcast editor, joining us on the phone. Clarkie, when can we see and or hear you? Hopefully not in passive-aggressive mode next.
Well, I'm fuming, first and foremost. Those questions, absolutely outrageous. I'm going to be joining Dan Roebuck in the Matchday Show studio for the big one, Atletico Madrid away.
Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Michael McMullen, to Max Jones, and of course to Adrian Clark for their contributions today. We'd like to know how we're doing in the podcast, so please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. You can subscribe as well, and also find us on Acast these days. Remembering too to get your questions into Clarkie at the Chalkboard on Twitter using the hashtag Arsenal Weekly. That's all we've got time for, but we're back on Monday, the 7th of May.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.